Well, last week we were talking about the executor role and things like that, and we got up to the benefits of showing your executor your will now, before your death. Now, this is almost new to me because I was sort of led to believe you don't see it. You see it on TV all the time, you know, the reading of the will. No one had a clue about it and stuff like that. Possibly even the executor maybe did. What are the benefits of showing your executor your will now, before your death, Fiona?
Yeah, so when you're saying on TV, like reading the will after someone has died, is that what you mean?
I am, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is the benefit? Oh, just the gift of knowing. Just knowing.
Yep.
Why I wish everybody would talk about it and, about their own estate plans and what they hope will be achieved after their death. I don't understand. It just blows my mind why we keep things secret.
Mm-hmm.
Lawyers make a lot of money out of the secrecy.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Because... the star of the show is dead, so there's nobody, the main person's not there to argue with or ask the questions. So, you have to argue amongst yourselves. But the question, what are the benefits? What are the benefits of showing your executor your will now?
Preparation, I guess.
Yeah, well, your executor gets to say no. They might not want the job. Because a grumpy, like it's like any job,
yeah.
A grumpy person doing a job that they don't really want to do.
Is not going to do it very well.
No, and that might not come from a very good place. So, yeah.
Very wise.
The other thing is, like, I'm used to seeing people where that they tell me this is what the will maker wanted. And I'm like, where did you get that from? Out of their, like, not from the will maker themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So people get... They get very positional about being the mouthpiece for the person that has died, but it actually doesn't come from a real conversation with that will maker. It's just a whole heap of assumptions.
It's got to be spelled out, doesn't it? In black and white, it must be spelled out, their directions, what they want.
Well, so talking to your executors and your beneficiaries about your estate plans, you're just creating a collaborative space to work through that inevitable event being death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How are we going to, after you're finished with your own assets, after you're finished with all your special... personal effects and bits and pieces, when you're finished with that, what do you want? How am I distributing that to your beneficiaries? It's a bit, sounds easy. It's not easy.
So the gift of knowing is such a powerful tool, really. So you give them, by seeing the will prior to the death, you understand what's expected. And you've got, creating a collaborative space for your family. I don't quite understand that. Maybe you could explain that to
collaborative, me. It just means working together.
Right.
Doesn't it? Like, and so what do we need to work together? We need information. Like, it's like any job that you rock up to. I use the example of, if we all have to wear a taffeta dress to a wedding just in case we're asked at the door to be the bridesmaid.
Yeah.
Isn't it the same with rocking up to any workplace? If you don't know what is expected of you.
Yeah, that would be scary.
Yeah, the stress around that, trying to guess what the person wanted. That's what's happening. And so who do you turn to get that information? Because the person is dead, so you can't ask them.
No.
So you have to ask Google, I suppose.
Ugh.
Yeah, or going to see a lawyer. And then so the big thing about this is what I'm finding is executors are very, very distressed. They don't know what to do. They want to do a good job. The will maker is dead, so they can't ask them. And so there's this big gap, and it's easily filled by talking about your estate plans with everyone while you're still alive. the other big one to help keep lawyers out of it is if you have made a decision as the will maker to do it a certain way, if you show your people, they have a chance to say, don't do that. don't do that. It doesn't suit me for this reason, or that's not fair. All the things, you can have the chat about it while we're all still alive. The alternative is that the aggrieved person sees a lawyer after death to speak on their behalf and get what they want out of the estate.
I already know what it is, I guess, but what's will shock? What is will shock?
Well, I just call it will shock. It's a bit like bill shock. Like it's
yes, okay.
Yeah, that's why I say it like that. So you stop will shock. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a surprise.
Can people come to you for help with an executor? I know you say, you know, look, you know, if you can't do it, then you end up talking to a lawyer. But can someone come to you prior? Here's a scenario. They've just received their will from their parent, and they've looked at it and gone, oh, how the bloody hell do I do this? Can they come to you for advice as a lawyer on how to go about it? Still staying, they may have this wish to want to be the executor, but can they come to you to help them understand it better?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Of course. Before or after death.
Yes.
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 That's what lawyers do. Yeah, and I do provide, like, that's that holistic approach, really, because the questions, the strict, like, lawyers, you know, getting a grant of probate if it's after death. Like, I just give you all the, I give you the Fiona answer, all of it.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. And people do need to be stepped through that. I had a lawyer, I mean, sorry, I had an inquiry this week from a very distressed lady that was saying, oh, it's my fault because I read the will wrong. and it's too late now. You know, we can't fix the problem that she's found as a beneficiary in the will. So she'd interpreted it wrong. Yeah, so of course I'd prefer to see it beforehand while the will maker is still alive, has capacity, and we can update it to make it workable or usable. Yeah.
Can, after the break, could we possibly look at doing death planning by instalments? I know it sounds bizarre, but I quite like the sound of that. So after the break, how about we have a chat about doing death planning by instalments? You know, I really like this show in the sense that we are coming to some of the terms with some of the terminology and the fact that, you know, everyone is, as you say, everyone's going to die. So, you know, why is it such a big taboo? And it makes it interesting. So
I just make up the words. Will shock. That's because it's like bill shock.
I know. You've got some great. Yeah, but I like those. I mean, and maybe it's just me. But, you know, being a lay person and you work in the legal profession, most people don't. So, you know, to be able to understand it, things like an executor, I've learnt more in this than I ever would have believed. You're listening to Hills Radio. The show is brought to you by who, Fiona? Your estate lawyer.
Is that?
Yeah. And Fiona Shilton is my guest this morning. Here's some more.
I was going to say Stroud Holmes.
Yes, and the Adelaide Hills Farmers Market, of course, this Saturday. And at 11 o'clock today, we will be talking to David. Yeah, we'll find out a little bit more about citrus. DJ Citrus is the company we'll be talking to. Right now, though, it's Fiona Shilton and your estate lawyer. And I want to do death planning by instalments. So, you know, let's talk about it. How do you go making arrangements here, there and sometime? What do you do?
What I'm saying, when I say to do it by instalments, because like I said earlier, let's stop will shock. Will shock is to me where...
One big overload.
Yeah, well, will shock is where you go see a lawyer, draft your will, put it in their safe, lock it away and then don't talk about it with anybody and then you die. And then you die.
As you do.
And then will shock is, you know, the people that you love who are expecting to receive something out of your estate, going looking for the will, ringing around trying to find it. And then when they read the will, they're shocked. Like, it's like, oh, didn't know that's what they wanted or whatever. So when I say doing death planning by instalments, what I mean is somehow introducing and introducing and including planning to die in your everyday, like, you know. So yeah, because what I find is people are so afraid of death that they don't talk about it, which then just makes the problem bigger.
Yeah.
So by instalments, I just mean, you know, not every Christmas lunch, but not every special event, not every time someone comes to visit do you hand out, you know, your crockery just in case, you know, you're going to die, that type of thing.
Yes.
I just mean somehow, slowly but surely, talking to people about what you would like if you lost capacity or if you got, you know, you needed help or, and in the event of your death, you just include it in your everyday life. Knowledge is power.
And secrecy breeds suspicion as well.
I say secrecy breeds suspicion because in my experience, I've had people have made appointments with me and they bring in photos that they've taken years.
What's that about?
Well, they're suspicious. So they're taking photos to prove later on, prove something later on.
Prove what? Stuff's disappeared or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah it's actually I don't want to say really common, but in my lawyer land it is because I only see, the kettle. It's because, and when you say secrecy breeds suspicion. It's the opposite to transparency. It's the opposite to having information and knowledge. People are afraid, disempowered, don't know what's going on. So they actually take photos of items that they know are in mum's house or grandma's house to show the lawyer later that when they miss out on their one-third share of that item or whatever it is. Yeah, so, and suspicious people get angry or, you know, they're just that fear of missing out really, isn't it? So I'm just sort of saying that the more you talk about it, the more collaborative your plans are, the easier it is for your families to stay friends after you die.
You've got a great example in here of families not knowing where the will is, and it becomes a scenario of someone ringing around all these lawyers trying to find out who's actually got the will and the original one.
That's an everyday event. That's not just common, that's everyday because we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And so imagine that I get the phone call on the day of death quite often from people that are not my clients or not people that I know.
Really?
They haven't even had the funeral yet and they need the will. They need to know where the will is. They need to know who the boss of the estate is. It's really common.
What advice do you give them in that scenario?
I don't have it. The first answer is I don't have it.
Yep.
Then my next question is, what do you need from me? But they're very distressed, very, very distressed. So, you know, I'll just, and I'll misfix it. So I'll ask them, where does your person keep their important papers?
Yeah.
If a law firm has drafted the will, the law firm will often give the client an unsigned copy, and then that's a way to start. You can ring the Law Society and see if the will has been added to the register. Mm-hmm. That's not very old. But good luck. Keep ringing around. But for me, so I'm working with good will makers. I'm working with strong-willed people. They're not going to do that to their families in the event of their death. A good will maker lets their executors know, gives them a copy, chats about it, also talks to their beneficiaries about it. That's a good will maker.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I know, it's, you know, and again, by talking about even like we're doing here, it starts to make people think that, you know, I never thought about it that way.
But today's never the day. That's the thing. Today's never the day. I don't want to talk to my so-and-so about it.
And then yet tomorrow or this afternoon, they cark it.
Yeah, and this is
and the then thing. It is the day.
The other thing, that's right. And then it's, officially known as a shit show. I also am a strong believer in talking about it from the start. Like, we need to start role modelling, be a leader around this issue. And that means to do it when you are healthy.
Do you think this is something that should be brought up as an educational thing at school? What's possibly?
It's about values, and it's about leadership and taking care of each other instead of hiding information when I was, I've said this to everyone before, when I was growing up, I didn't know how much money my parents earned. I know I asked the question as a kid because I would have done an economics class or something. Yeah, they said none of your business. Mm. I used to write stories about finding the adoption papers. I used to dream that maybe I was adopted, so I'd go look, you know. But I was told lots of times, I've been told in my life lots of things are none of my business. Mm. And I've spoken about that on Facebook too. Anyway, it is my business if it affects me. Yeah. You look it up. But people will say it's none of your business because it's a good way to deflect and stop someone talking about something that makes them feel uncomfortable. So I'm on a mission to get people to talk about it while they're healthy. While we're alive, we're kicking along. Let's talk about that instead of the weather. Because when you are unwell, it's a shitload harder to talk about death while you're not well. Yep. Because we have to fight. We have to recover from that.
Yep.
So
you may never get a time to.
But if we've talked about it while we're healthy, rather than talking about the weather, you've geared your people up to cope better,
which then allows them to grieve better after your death rather than worrying about the unknown. So it's smart.
Exactly
it's
right.
Smart, Fiona. When we come back from the break...
He just called me smart, everyone.
When we come back from the break, your executor, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about the executor and, you know, and the roles and positions they've got to take while they are in that role as an executor. As I said, we're playing a bit of a tribute to Bruce Springsteen today, thanks to Martin Adams. It's his birthday today, so here's a bit more of The Boss and Thunder Road. On hillsradio.com.au with Fiona Shilton from Your Estate Lawyer. Absolutely, and a very big thanks to Stroud for their support and sponsorship of hillsradio.com.au. Fiona Shilton, I need to ask you this particular question, which is, why are you encouraging us to show everyone the will? Well, we know that, but there's a scenario out there of advocating for the dead.
Well, what I'm saying is that we focus on deceased estates when we should be focused on estate planning. And so part of planning is knowing and, you know, and making sure you got your team together so that they can, that it could happen as easy as possible with the least amount of disputes. But when I'm saying, but the thing is, like you brought up about secrecy breeding suspicion, I'm saying about it, what I mentioned to you just a minute ago was that it works both ways. Will makers are traditionally, they're tired of the arguments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a lot of pressure on the will maker to be a good one.
A good will maker, yep.
And they're tired. They don't necessarily want to have the chat or an argument with their children or grandchildren about what they're getting. But my story, the whole reason I'm here doing this is that maybe it is a bit too late for me with those people, because they are tired. Like, it has been 80 years of secrecy. It's a different way of thinking. For me, estate planning is hanging out with 25, 35, 45, 55, 65-year-old people. Like, it's a lifelong thing, like I was saying about it being by installments. So it's a whole different mindset. The industry, like the death industry, makes money out of people thinking they should keep their wills secret. That's it. And we feed fear around that, like around
the skeletons in the closet.
Yeah, and like sort of mentioning about how much, you know, when I asked how much my parents earned, it took a long time for me to get an insight into that. And so in my family, I am a lot more open and transparent around decisions about where we live, choosing what we buy, that type of stuff. Just talking about houses, like how much did it cost to buy that house? How much is your mortgage? Just talking about finance, talking about income, and the fact that money doesn't like grow on trees, that type of thing. But that's a discussion that I'm having at 44 with my youngest is 8 on the regular, which will then lead into being open and honest about estate planning. Like, if, so if I die, to, if I die, what does that look like for everybody? So it's just that role model leadership around being as open and transparent in a healthy and safe way as possible. And that leads into being a good parent, a good will maker, teaching my kids how to treat me when I'm as I get older.
Yes.
But yeah, so I'm not blaming people for keeping them secret. I'm not blaming people for doing their own wills. Like, there's a lot of misinformation out there, I think.
Absolutely. That's the benefit of this show, in a way.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, because people think that wills are easy, and people think that others that fight over a will are greedy, or like use whatever words you want to use to describe the person that's been disappointed after your death, after the death.
You know, I could really see some great seminars from you. Where you come along and just understand this better, because maybe there are things out there like this, but...
I'm making it up as I go. There's plenty of lawyers out there that can explain the legal definitions of certain words and, or, you know, certain situations and things like that. I'm more interested in just making the world a happier place, I think.
Okay.
But no, you don't need a seminar for that.
So being a good executor, you're a leader, you're a project manager, you're a salesperson, declutterer, problem solver, you are everything. And any breakdown in that management of your death has dire consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dire.
Emotional, mental, physical and financial consequences.
Yeah. I think this is back to like talking about secrecy.
Yeah.
I don't know whether many people are discussing how difficult being an executor is. I think it's part of the shame, like as if, well, I'm not doing a very good job. So we internalise our failures around being an executor for a will make, like for the dead person. So it's interesting that we're quietly struggling in our own, you know, in this mess. So I'm here to say that for those executors that you've been set up to fail. You've been set up to fail. Information is not easy to find. Often you don't have a magic wand.
Yep.
Being appointed an executor is a role of leadership. And to be a good leader, there's lots of things you need to be a good leader. And we currently, generally, don't equip our executors with all the tools to lead the family or the beneficiaries through the management of a deceased estate.
All right. We're going to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to throw the last question at you, which will hopefully cover at least a tad of being an executor, and that is, what happens if you die without a valid will? Happy with me chucking that one at you?
Sure.
You're listening to hillsradio.com.au with Fiona Shilton, your estate lawyer, as we've been doing. Bruce Springsteen's birthday. Here's a classic, The Promised Land, on hillsradio.com.au, the voice of the Adelaide Hills. Hillsradio.com.au, the voice of the Adelaide Hills. And it's a pleasure to be here today and to learn a little bit more about legal, especially with wills, with Fiona Shilton from Your Estate Lawyer. Fiona, I'd just like to throw this one out to you. What happens, you know, the last question, what happens if you die without a valid will?
Well, I've already said the S word twice today, so...
You're talking about upshit creep, right?
Yeah, but the if you die without a valid will, you miss out on the opportunity of making plans for the people that you love and have left behind. That's my non-lawyer answer. It's not hard to make a will with me. It's hard thinking about the fact that you might die, you know, so that's the big thing there, but I've got a big, long legal answer about what happens if you die without a valid will.
Just keep it simple for me.
For you? Real simple. For you, it has to be real simple. But what will happen is that there's legislation that prioritises who can go to the Supreme Court on behalf of the dead person to manage that person's estate. So there's a priority list. And then the law itself says who gets what.
Yep.
You know, so you lose, yeah, and it can have some really dire, you've used the word dire once now, yeah. You've planted the word for
diabolical.
Some very dire consequences that none of, yeah, that we don't want to do. But
no.
So, but from a positive point of view, I want you to know that, yeah, you miss out on an opportunity to take care of your family.
So no will, the law then says who gets what. The Supreme Court public trustee then has an interest in the outcome and the administration of it, so... As you just said, it does become an S show.
Yeah, there's other people you have to, that's right, your family has to answer to the, there's some accounting that you need to do and provide that information to the government.
Yeah, you lose that control that you should have.
And like I said a minute ago, like there's a priority list of who is able to manage your estate, who can make that application for letters of administration. That list of people, you might not have even given them. If you were to choose the captain of your team, it may not have been that one or the next one in line or the next one in line. You lose the opportunity to set up your family to succeed in the event of your death.
Got it.
Mm.
Yeah, look, it's so important. And the thing is, I think people are starting to realise that you are very easy to work with when it comes to, you know, about wills. That's your speciality as an estate lawyer, so people can feel comfortable coming to you because what they say to you stays with you.
Yeah, that's right. You still get the benefit of the whole confidentiality thing all the rest of it.
So that eliminates this feeling of, you know, once you get to know Fiona, if you've got the skeletons in the closet that need to be disclosed, you can disclose them to Fiona.
Yeah, that's right. And I often talk about that in meetings with people, that we don't want to be talking about those skeletons at your funeral. That's where they rock up at. Mm.